You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Kendall Keene, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas trying to snap a three-game losing streak this week as the Razorbacks go west to Provo, Utah for a game against BYU. It'll be a 2:30 kickoff on ESPN. The Razorbacks have lost three in a row to Texas A&M, Alabama, and Mississippi State, but trying to have an undefeated season or keep an undefeated season going in non-conference play. They still have BYU and Liberty left in non-conference action. Matt Jones today with Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com and Ethan Westerman, who helps us out with Hogs Illustrated and does our scouting reports for our magazines, and we're glad to have him on the podcast today. Andrew, let's start with the BYU game and just how we feel about this game, because I've gone back and forth all week about how I think this game could go or it might go. I certainly feel good about Arkansas having KJ Jefferson back in the fold. I feel like it's a much more complete, balanced offense whenever KJ is playing. But you know, the big bugaboo for this team the last few weeks has been the secondary play, and it doesn't get any easier when you have injuries. We know Jalen Catalan's out for the season. We know Ladarius Bishop's out for the season. And there are a lot of question marks going into this game when it comes to health. Players Miles Slusher, Jaden Johnson, Kari Johnson, I think their status is all up in the air right now. And you wonder how Arkansas can handle BYU, a team that's not as explosive as Mississippi State or Alabama the last couple of weeks. But you wonder if BYU might have like one of those Texas A&M type games where they play one of their best offensive games of the season because of the issues that Arkansas has going on the back end.
Yeah, I think if any program could really use a bye week at this point in the season, it's definitely the Razorbacks, just with all the injuries that you've mentioned. And I think they kind of need to focus and kind of reset themselves after a three-game losing streak, but they don't have that opportunity. They've got to go up against a good BYU team. And so it's brutal schedule-wise, but this feels like kind of a tipping point in the season where if they are to lose this game, you might see them pack it in. If that's four straight and set to the bye week, and that could be sink the ship for the rest of the season. But on the flip side, if they're able to come out with a win, go into a bye week, get some players back healthy, it could turn it around and they could go on a little winning streak. And so to me, this is probably the most crucial game that they're playing in this season up to this point in the season. And I think BYU and Arkansas are kind of in the same stature as programs, as like good but not great programs. And so I think it'll be a competitive game. And I think a lot of it depends on the health of the quarterbacks, who are both coming off some injuries. So I think if they are both 100% healthy, Jaren Hall and KJ Jefferson, then it should be an entertaining and competitive game.
BYU not ranked this week. They fell out of the AP top 25 after a 28-20 loss to Notre Dame last week. And that game was a little bit surprising, Ethan, I thought, because of, you know, the offensive struggles that Notre Dame had. And, you know, really up until that point, the only game where BYU had played poorly this season was on the road at Oregon. And, you know, given what Oregon's done, there's really no shame in that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to get a good read on BYU so far, because, I mean, they got that big win over Baylor in week two, which is week by week starting to look a little less big. They haven't really beaten anybody yet that's too notable. It's just kind of been inconsistent for them all year. They've been kind of like the Razorbacks, battling a lot of injury problems. So it seems to me like this is just a game where both Arkansas and BYU are trying to kind of right the ship and get at least some good energy going towards the back half of their schedule. It's a really big one for BYU because they don't get too many opportunities on their schedule to play teams from the SEC. But I think the BYU offense, it resembles Mississippi State quite a bit in like what they want to try and do. They just haven't been as effective as the Bulldogs have been doing it.
When you say that, you know, I think a lot of people might think you mean that they throw the ball all over the field. They're not going to throw it 48 times a game like Mississippi State did. So explain that a little bit. How are they similar to Mississippi State?
Yeah, they don't throw it as often as Mississippi State, but that's really where they get the bulk of their yardage. Their running backs really aren't that their numbers aren't great on the year, but if you look at their yards per carry, kind of like how Mississippi State's where they're pretty effective whenever they do run the ball. But it's just they get so much yardage through the air that's just it kind of takes on a similar identity as Mississippi State, and the fact that that's where they're going to kind of live and die by is how effective Jaren Hall is throwing the ball.
Arkansas struggled so much with the run game last week at Mississippi State. I don't think Andrew or anybody expected Mississippi State to run the ball like they did. And, you know, it's interesting that the way that they approached that Arkansas game plan, I think, by running against the three-man front more than they had the previous 2 years under Mike Leach. I don't think we're going to see that same defensive game plan against BYU. I think for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's not the threat of BYU throwing it as much as Mississippi State. Number two, I think that the Arkansas coach has probably realized after that game in Starkville that they've got to figure out a way to get some pressure on the quarterback and make him more uncomfortable than they did in Starkville, because, you know, giving Will Rogers all day to throw back there certainly, you know, didn't help their secondary last week in Starkville. It's really tough for this defense right now. I think you pick your poison. We talked about that earlier this week. You know, you rush too many, you leave man-to-man coverage in the back end, and Arkansas hasn't been very good in man-to-man coverage this year. You don't rush enough, and you give the quarterback all day to throw. It'll be really interesting to see how Arkansas approaches this game defensively, but I don't think it's going to be the same defensive game plan, or at least I would be surprised if it is the same one that we saw in Starkville a week ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Arkansas's strength on defense all year long has been their pass rush, and that's been the kind of saving grace at times, because the secondary has been so poor, and even the tackling at times. But they've been bailed out by a pretty elite pass rush with Drew Sanders and Landon Jackson and those guys. But I think you're exactly right that they're not going to go back to the rush three, drop eight, because I think that was a specific game plan to attack the air raid offense, which obviously Mississippi State, you mentioned, came out and surprised them in the run game. But I think that the BYU offense is probably not as explosive as Mississippi State. And I think that something that stands out to me when I look at Jaren Hall's numbers is how well he takes care of the ball. His touchdown ratio, career touchdown ratio, 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, just 2 interceptions this season. So I think that for a defense that struggles to create turnovers, he's not going to gift them to you. And so I think you're exactly right. They're going to have to try to blitz and put pressure on him and force some mistakes.
We talked about Mike Leach and the Mississippi State game. Interesting that Mike Leach went to college at BYU, and he was very influenced, his air raid was, by what BYU was doing in the, you know, the late 70s and the early 80s under Lavelle Edwards. Norm Chow was their offensive coordinator for a good number of years. You know, they had great quarterbacks through there. Jim McMahon, Steve Young, Ty Detmer won the Heisman Trophy in 1990. They won a national championship in 1984, did BYU. And Mike Leach didn't play football in college, but he was a student at BYU, and so many of his concepts came from what BYU does. It's different now. Kalani Sitake, their head coach, seventh-year head coach, was a lineman under Lavelle Edwards. His Ethan, I think you would probably say, has developed an identity probably more in line with what Arkansas wants to be. This is a strong line of scrimmage program. You see them go out into the, you know, the Pacific Islands and get a lot of big linemen that they bring into Utah. And, you know, they play big boy football there. And I think that these are a couple of teams, honestly, that are going to look kind of similar. You know, they're going to look in the mirror and say, hey, that's kind of what we want to look like.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right with the way the programs want to play and their techniques, their playing styles and schemes. I think they both want to be big, physical, power football programs. And I think that you can see that in the way that their roster is made up. And I think it was Jordan Dominick who mentioned that they have an SEC-sized O-line. You know, they're 6'5", 300 across the board. And so I think they're probably both looking to play a similar style of football, and it won't be such a stark contrast as you saw last week against the Mississippi State team.
So much great history at BYU, and I think that's part of what makes this trip you know, really interesting and unique, is that it's Arkansas's first game there. But, you know, the history at BYU is really interesting. You look throughout, you know, the coaching profession right now, whether it be college, whether it be pro football, and there's a lot of BYU influence out there, whether it be directly in a coach, say, like Andy Reid at Kansas City, or the coaches that have, you know, come out of the Andy Reid coaching tree. Andy Reid, Brian Billick, Mike Holmgren, all Super Bowl winning head coaches who coached under Lavelle Edwards at BYU in the college game right now. You've got Kyle Whittingham at Utah. You've got Steve Sarkisian at Texas. Obviously mentioned Kalani Sitake at BYU right now. There have been a number of others who have come out of that coaching tree. And so that makes it, I don't know, I guess I look at it from a historical standpoint. I think it's kind of interesting that Arkansas is playing this program for the first time. First time that Arkansas is ever playing in Utah as well. The Razorbacks are going to go back to Utah in 2026. When they play the Utes in Salt Lake City. So they've got a couple of games scheduled there over the next five seasons. One of the things that has been a talking point leading up to this game is just how much the altitude will affect the Razorbacks when they go to Utah. The Lavelle Edwards Stadium is located about 4,600, 4,700 feet above sea level. It's the seventh highest elevation at a college football stadium in the football bowl subdivision. The highest is in Wyoming at over 7,200 feet. The next highest is at the Air Force Academy, 6,600. And then there's a pretty big drop off between that and the other stadiums that are at altitude, one of which is Colorado State, where Arkansas played 4 years ago in Fort Collins at Canvas Stadium. I talked to Bumper Pool last week about just how much did the altitude affect the team during that game, because I think that there was a thought process coming out of that game that Arkansas faded toward the end because maybe they were winded, you know, due to the elevation. And Bumper Pool said, no, that's not true. He said, you know, there were not any players that he could remember, you know, kind of huffing and puffing at the end of the game and saying that they were having trouble breathing. Yeah, you know, that team, they had a tendency to give up big leads, you know, late in games. We saw that a few times in that 2018 season. Obviously, had seen it in the years under Brett Bielema and the, you know, final couple of years of his career leading up to 2018 with a number of those same players who were on the roster. Poole said he doesn't think that elevation is really a big concern. I talked to Lance Harder last week, the Arkansas, you know, the great Arkansas women's track and field coach who, you know, he grew up running in Colorado, ran, you know, coached there early in his career. You know, he's taken athletes up there throughout his career. And, you know, he's got a real good feel for how elevation affects you from an athletic standpoint. And basically what Lance Harder said was that football is a sport where you have so many chances to break during the game. You know, I mean, you run a play and then you've got anywhere from 20 to 40 seconds before the next snap. He said that chance to stop and catch your breath is what you need at elevation, at altitude. And that, you know, so in football, you don't see altitude affect football players quite like you would, say, in a sport like running, whether you're running a long distance or even soccer. Dr. Colby Hale, after the soccer team came back from BYU last month, and, you know, asked him, you know, were there things that you had to do differently preparing to play at altitude? He said you need to get a lot of sleep. He said you need to really hydrate. You know, and hydration has been something that I've heard from a lot of people about playing at altitude. So I guess it's open to interpretation what altitude does to you. But the feeling that I get in talking to people throughout the last couple of weeks and, you know, reading about teams that have gone to different elevations and different altitudes, they'll tell you that, you know, it really probably is a little bit overblown. And, you know, you get there a day beforehand, you kind of get used to it, and you go out and you play football.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I remember when Colby Hale was talking about the making that trip to BYU, that he didn't really put an emphasis on their conditioning, didn't really talk about the elevation change before the game. And I don't think he said it didn't really have too much of an outcome. And I think especially when you have a sport like soccer where you're running continuously, like you said, and for him to say that it wasn't much of a factor, then that makes me believe that it won't be a really big deal, especially for football. And then I think also it would maybe be more concerning if these weren't premier conditioned athletes. Like, they do so much weight training, conditioning stuff, that I don't think that this is probably like the least of their concerns.
Playing in Cowbell Haven down there in Starkville, and then you turn around and now you're playing up in the mountains, it's two tough places to play back to back. So I think looking at the schedule before the year, you knew that these would be a couple really important games back to back, and it's really a game that, I mean, altitude or not, how much of an effect it has on the game, Arkansas needs to probably find a way to win.
Bumper Pool was talking about going to Fort Collins. He said, Yeah, for us, it was almost a relief because it was early in the season and it had been so hot up until that point. And you finally go up there and you get to have somewhat of a cool day. Probably going to be a similar deal as they go out to BYU this week. You know, it's cooling off here in Arkansas, but I think that they'll, you know, get a nice reprieve from the weather when they go out there for that game. One other note on the altitude. One thing that I did ask Lance Harder, I said, is there a point in a football game where you think the altitude could affect the players? And he said that he could see an instance where if, you know, say let's use BYU's offense as an example. If they run multiple or consecutive plays where they have their receivers running, you know, basically like go routes, where your defensive backs have to cover a long distance down the field on consecutive plays, he said that he could see that being an area where altitude comes into an effect or comes into play and have an effect on the game. Because then after a couple of those, you know, 30, 40, 50 yard runs, whatever the case might be for your defensive backs, then you're going to start really kind of feeling, you know, that lack of oxygen. You're going to need a break. And that's certainly where BYU could have an advantage in this game. Something to look out for. But certainly from everyone we've talked to, it doesn't sound like altitude is going to be a real big factor in this game between Arkansas and BYU on Saturday. We mentioned that KJ Jefferson's going to be back for Arkansas. That's the expectation. He's practiced all week. Probably could have played at Mississippi State last week. He had been cleared, but he missed 2 days of practice. And, you know, we mentioned this earlier. This offense just looks so much different with him at the helm. They moved the ball up and down the field in Starkville. It's just they couldn't capitalize on it. There were a couple of interceptions. Obviously, there were the two drives that stalled out in the red zone. And, you know, I don't think that's going to be the case with KJ Jefferson. They haven't been the best red zone offense with him in there either. But I just feel like this is going to be a week where offensively Arkansas is going to get it going a lot more so than maybe what we've seen the last few weeks.
Yeah, and from looking at how kind of both teams operate, I think that it's a good game for Arkansas to get back to its identity of really running the ball well, because BYU hasn't really proven yet that they can really stop the run that effectively. And so it's a game where Arkansas really, really could get kind of back to how you saw them against Cincinnati and South Carolina, just really running behind that line and moving the ball effectively, getting back to just the identity that they had early in the season. It seems like recently it's been just other teams getting ahead really fast early, and that just it gets Arkansas away from its identity offensively, having to try and play the catch-up game, because what they were doing so well early in the season is just running behind that line and really putting together good long drives.
Yeah, I mean, Malik Hornsby filled in admirably. I think he played well at Mississippi State, but there was obviously key moments in the game where I think Arkansas missed KJ Jefferson, and you could tell that in like the short yarded situations, the third and ones, the fourth and ones, where they typically would want to line KJ up under center and just push him forward for a yard, they weren't able to do that. And then that goal line pass that Malik missed to Matt Landers. That's one that I think KJ's probably putting a touchdown on the board there. And so I think obviously it'll be nice for them to have them back. And if he is 100% to take those hits and kind of set the tone with his physicality again. And then on the other side with BYU and Jaren Hall's injury, I think he's dealing with a shoulder injury, which I think maybe has potential to be a more of a lingering issue. And so maybe if he's not 100% that they could capitalize on that.
Accuracy between Jefferson and Hornsby, I don't even think it's close. Jefferson, obviously a very accurate quarterback. At least that's what the numbers say. I know that he throws a lot of short passes. You get him further down the field, it can get kind of hit or miss on his accuracy. Deep ball, really good. 10 to 19 yards, I think, is where he struggles a lot. Hornsby, just very inconsistent throwing the ball. But I'll tell you the area where I think Jefferson is underappreciated. I won't say he's undervalued, but I think he's underappreciated just because there's really no great metric to put on this, is the way that he reads the defense with those zone read options. He's very good at making the right decision, whether or not to give it to the running back or keep it himself and go out and get yardage. Not always great, but he's usually very good in that situation. But I think that's really an area where, you know, his play or his presence really comes into play for Arkansas.
Yeah, you know, I just mentioned the third and goal pass that Malik Hornsby missed, Matt Landers with that was would have been a walk-in touchdown, and then they followed it up on that with that on the very next play was the zone read, and I think that Malik could have pulled it and also walked into the end zone. I think Pittman mentioned it in the press conference that if Malik pulled that ball, they probably would have scored. And I think those are two back-to-back plays where you could see the importance of getting KJ Jefferson back to run this offense.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Kendall King Design, Display, Signage, KendallKing.com. That's KendallKing.com.
The Kendall King Group family of companies plays to win, just like our hogs. We know how demanding retail marketing is today. From digital omnichannel creative services, through in-store signing and displays, and finally to social influence, we've got you covered. Our KKG Inc. family of companies, Kendall King, ShopCart Creative, and Soapbox Influence are winning with multiple retailers and brands. We play to win and will be a winning partner for all your retail marketing service needs. Go Hogs!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
We had a great time this week at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club with Hunter Yurachek, who came and spoke. I had a lot of great things to say about, well, a lot of topics, to be honest with you. He did make a great comment about the football team. He said, "What's wrong with the football team? Absolutely nothing." He said, "We play in the SEC, guys. These types of things are going to happen." You know, and he was quick to remind everyone where the program had been just a couple of years ago. Even Sam Pittman's first year when they only won three games, you know, this, as Yurachek alluded to, this is part of the natural growing process for a football program. Certainly enjoyed his time this week at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Our next meeting is going to be October the 26th. That's a Wednesday, the Wednesday of the Razorbacks football game against Auburn. And our guest that day will be Chuck Barrett, the voice of the Razorbacks. He'll be in town to talk not only about football, but basketball. We tried to time this to where we could talk about both sports. Of course, that's going to be the week of the Razorbacks' two exhibition games. They'll play Rogers State on that Monday night, and then they'll go to the University of Texas for a scrimmage on that Saturday. Chuck Bate on October 26th at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club at the Hilton Garden Inn off of Weddington Drive. For more information, nwadealpig.com. Prediction time, an interesting week in the SEC. There are some games that probably are going to be some blowouts, so we're not going to touch those. That includes Auburn, Ole Miss. Don't know that Auburn can really hang with Ole Miss this year, but we'll pick the games that we think can be competitive. Let's start, Andrew, with LSU at Florida. A game where it's a couple of teams that have been in the top 25 this season, both outside the top 25 right now, but a win for either of these teams could potentially put them back in the rankings.
Yeah, and you look at the name value of these two programs, LSU and Florida, is kind of makes you feel like they're underachieving to this point, because they're normally kind of premier college football programs, and to have an unranked matchup between them feels kind of off. But I think I took Florida in this one because I think it's going to be a close game. They're the home team. And I think really they're kind of similar with struggling programs with athletic quarterbacks that have high upside, but it's just going to be come down to whoever is more consistent on that day.
Yeah, I'm with Andrew. I picked Florida to win this one just because I watched some of that Tennessee LSU game last week, and it just seems like there's a lot of problems right now for LSU to fix, and going to the swamp just probably not the best atmosphere to go in and try and fix a lot of those problems in. I think that Florida getting I know it wasn't a pretty win over Missouri, but it was a win nonetheless, a good confidence builder heading into this one for them.
This was the toughest game, I thought, for me to pick this week. I was kind of riding the LSU train a little bit, thinking that they were better than what they had shown in that Florida State game earlier this season. I thought they could beat Tennessee last week in Baton Rouge, and I thought that was the most surprising, not necessarily the fact that Tennessee won, but the way that Tennessee won in LSU last week. I thought that was the most surprising outcome of a week ago. I'll go with Florida, just the fact they're playing at home. Florida very offensively challenged right now, and so it makes you a little bit hesitant to pick them in any game, just because I think that the chances that they could get outscored are pretty high. But you know, we'll go with LSU. Certainly, I think that's a toss-up, though, this week in the SEC. A couple of ranked matchups in the SEC this week. Let's start with Mississippi State going to Kentucky.
Yeah, I took the Mississippi State in this one. I think they kind of cemented themselves as a real threat in the SEC at the win over Arkansas. And I know that Arkansas was missing KJ Jefferson, but Mississippi State didn't do anything to lead me to believe that they're not a really good football program.
Yeah, I think Mississippi State wins this one. It seems like they're really piecing some things together. I know they had that collapse against LSU in the fourth quarter earlier this year that, you know, has that one loss on their schedule that they really want back. But they've, over the past few weeks, looked really solid to me, and I think that they get a win over Kentucky, a really big win for them, in fact, right before playing Alabama.
I went back and forth on this one, too. I think the fact that it's in Kentucky, I took Kentucky. I think, you know, there's a little bit of motivation right now for Kentucky to get back on the winning side of things. They've had a couple of, you know, frustrating losses for them the last 2 weeks. They do get Will Levis back this week, or certainly all the indications are that they'll get Levis back this week. They probably would have beaten South Carolina had Will Levis been in the lineup, didn't get to play last week because of an injury. Kentucky's one of those teams that I just have a hard time picking against them, because I feel like they're always just so solid. They don't beat themselves very often. And I'm not so sure that Mississippi State doesn't do that whenever it goes on the road. Mississippi State seems like a lot different offense whenever it goes on the road versus whenever it plays its games in its home stadium in Starkville. I think Kentucky gets the win this week just because they're a little bit more disciplined team than I think Mississippi State is. But I still have that feeling that I had with Florida and LSU. The fact that Kentucky can at times be very stagnant offensively, and you're playing against a team from Mississippi State who's able to score a lot of points. Kentucky at home, although I'm not 100% sure about that one. That was another one of the tougher games I thought that we had to pick this week. The game of the week nationally is in Knoxville. It's the sixth-ranked Tennessee Volunteers hosting third-ranked Alabama. Tennessee in the same boat as Arkansas. They have not beaten Alabama since Nick Saban became the head coach. Do you think that changes this week, Andrew?
In my heart, I don't know if I truly believe it does, but I did pick them, and it does. I feel uneasy about it, but if there's ever going to be a time for them to right that ship and end that streak, it's got to be this year. I mean, Hendon Hooker is a fantastic fit on in that Tennessee offense, and I think that they are really just a dominant win over LSU last week showed that they're for real, and I think they're going to be playing with a lot of momentum, and this is probably going to be like one of the biggest games that Tennessee's played in a while, and it's at home, so I think that that'll help them, and maybe they can sneak out a dub if Bryce Young isn't healthy or something.
Yeah, I'm with Andrew. I picked Tennessee. I don't know how good I feel about it in my heart. It's just hard to ever pick against Nick Saban, honestly, but I do think that it just sets up really nicely for them. The Alabama, I mean, they just got done with a really hard-fought win over Texas A&M. Tennessee looked really, really good against LSU, and Hendon Hooker has been – one thing you can't do against Alabama is beat yourself, and Hendon Hooker's been one of the best this year at just not making costly turnovers. I think he's thrown maybe one interception this year. He's done a really good job protecting the ball. And that offense looks really good right now. I think that playing at home on that big of a stage, if I'm correct, it's College Game Day's second trip out to Knoxville already this season. It's a huge game for them in front of what's going to be a sold out crowd there. I think Tennessee, this is the year that they beat Alabama. I think that Alabama just kind of has right now a lot of questions still, and Tennessee, I just feel more confident about at this point. But that being said, it's hard to pick against Nick Saban, so I don't know if I truly believe it in my heart, but I picked Tennessee this week.
Yeah, one of those who's going to be in attendance this week is Peyton Manning. He's going to be the guest picker on College Game Day. It seems like Tennessee, they do some weird things when Peyton Manning is in the house. I can't pick against Alabama, though. I think Bryce Young, from all indications, that he'll probably be back this week against Tennessee. If Alabama has him, I think that they're able to really exploit Tennessee from a passing standpoint. You know, we talk a lot about the Razorbacks' pass defense and how bad it's been. Tennessee's is worst. They actually give up a little bit more yardage than Arkansas through the first half of the season. Out of 131 teams, the Volunteers ranked 128th nationally right now in pass defense. Only Vanderbilt is worse in the SEC. And so I think if Bryce Young is back, they can find some things over the top of the Tennessee defense like they were doing in the first half before he got injured against Arkansas. There's something about Nick Saban in some of these matchups, whether it be Arkansas or Tennessee or Mississippi State, he just has, you know, it's like his teams, they pull the rug out from underneath these teams. Either that or they just blow them out of the water. And I just think that Alabama is a better team than Tennessee. I'm still not buying the Tennessee hype yet. I think that obviously the offense is really good. The defense gives me a little bit of concern for Tennessee to pick them in this game. I just don't know that the program's at that point yet where they're ready to beat Alabama. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think Alabama wins. Before we pick Arkansas and BYU, we mentioned those two games in the SEC this week where blowouts are expected. We all think that Ole Miss will beat Auburn. We all think Georgia will beat Vanderbilt. Here's a question, though. Can Auburn cover the 14.5 spread at Ole Miss, or can Vanderbilt cover the 38-point spread at Georgia?
And my short answer would be no. I think both of those are going to be ugly.
I'm gonna say Auburn can't cover the spread, but Vanderbilt does. Georgia is really hard to read right now for me. They looked really good at points this season and really bad. And Vanderbilt, I know that score last week against Ole Miss, it ended up pretty lopsided, but I watched a lot of that game, and they're not the same old Vanderbilt that just gets pushed around all game anymore. They have a lot of fight, and I mean, I think that that's a really big spread for them to not be able to cover. So I'll give Vandy covering, but not Auburn.
Yeah, I'm with you about Georgia, that they are get hard to get a read on. The fact that they only beat Missouri by four in Columbia was a big surprise, but maybe that's the type of game that gets their attention. Yeah, they blew Auburn out of the water last week, beat them by 32. A 38-point spread, that's really hard to feel good about. And so I think I agree with you. I think Vanderbilt's probably got a little bit better chance than Auburn does this week. Remember, Ole Miss, too. They played Vanderbilt last week. They're at home. They're going to want to get things rolling and turned around and kind of get that bad taste out of their mouth, being in a slugfest with Vanderbilt into the third quarter last week. All right, Arkansas goes to BYU on Saturday. Like we said, it'll be the Razorbacks' first ever game against the Cougars. It will be Arkansas' first ever game in the state of Utah. A real big opportunity here for Arkansas this week to end the losing streak going into a bye week. We saw this last year with UAPB, certainly a much, much different occasion than what we're seeing with BYU this week, especially the fact that it's on the road. But kind of the same thing applies. They beat UAPB. They went into the off week. They were able to get healthy, reset, and had a strong final month of the season. The same thing could happen this week if they can beat BYU and get to the off week and maybe get some players healed up, Andrew.
Yeah, I've got the Razorbacks winning this one, and a lot of it does come down to the quarterback health. If KJ's healthy, I like them by a decent margin. But I think that, quite frankly, Arkansas is going to play with flat-out desperation because they need this win heading into that bye week, and their season kind of hangs in the balance, so I think they're going to have to give it everything they've got.
Going into the season, kind of looking at Arkansas' schedule, I kind of thought this was the most important game of the year, and now with six games under its belt, I think that it's still Arkansas's most important, but kind of a different way than I saw entering the year. I thought entering the year, this could be one of those trap games that you I had Arkansas at a higher win total at this point, but now it seems like a really important game, because if you drop this one and go into your bye week sitting with a losing record, it's hard to bounce back and make a bowl game. But I think that this is a game that Arkansas comes out on top of. I just feel this is a game where Arkansas can kind of get back to its identity on offense. I know the defense has had quite a few issues this year, and there's a lot of uncertainty with the secondary right now. But I think that I just think that this is a game that Arkansas is going to come out super motivated to play this week. They know that they need this one, and they know they have a bye week on the other side of it to get rested up. I also think if this one gets close to the end, special teams can be really, really big. BYU has had kind of a nightmare situation at kicker this year. They've still haven't found who they think their starter is here at week seven already. They had their starting day kicker. He got benched last week finally after he was 3 of 8 from field goals in the 30 to 39 yard range on the year. So they finally gave the nod to their to the second team guy. And last week he didn't get to kick a field goal, but he did get to kick 3 extra points and he missed one of them. So it's just right now they BYU, if it gets down late in the game and they're really needing a big kick, I wouldn't have any faith in one of their kickers to come through. And I think that Arkansas with Cam Little in a close game, he's a guy that you can count on. I know he had that miss against Texas A&M earlier this year, but historically he's been pretty pretty clutch for the Razorbacks. So I think if this one's close, special teams at the end of the game, you might look back and say it was really big.
Little, of course, had a 51-yarder last week, too. You play at altitude, you kick at altitude, the ball typically travels a little bit farther, so maybe they were able to expand his range a bit this weekend in Provo. I've got Arkansas for a number of reasons. Some of them you guys have alluded to. I think the motivation is really big for Arkansas. That's not to say the motivation isn't big for BYU. This is just the second time an SEC team has ever come out to Provo and played there. And the last time they beat Mississippi State, I think 2016. They're pulling out all the stops this weekend. It's homecoming. They're asking everybody to wear all white. They've got special jerseys made for this game. I think sometimes when you do all that stuff, it takes your focus off of the game itself. And I think that Arkansas is going to be really laser focused and ready to play this game because they don't want to have a 4-game losing streak. They are tired of people saying that this is the same old Arkansas that, you know, starts hot, fades, and doesn't live up to expectations. I think this is still a good football team. You know, it's a football team that had Alabama in a 5-point game in the fourth quarter before things got away from them. And, you know, the defense fell apart a couple of weeks ago. Last week, it's hard to really take a whole lot from that game, just given everybody who was out, including the starting quarterback. If you don't have your starting quarterback in football these days, you're not in very good shape. I think Arkansas wins this game. I think they're a physical team. I think that will show throughout the game, especially I think this offensive line has been challenged this week because they weren't able to get the job done on the goal line last week. They weren't able to get the job done in some of those third and short, fourth and short situations a week ago. I think they've been challenged. I think they'll respond. And I think Arkansas's run game could have a really big game at BYU. I trust Sam Pittman to get things figured out. He did it last year with this team. He did it even in 2020 at times, you know, when there were times that the team didn't seem like they were going in the right direction in some places, and they would figure it out as the season went along. I think they get some things figured out this week, and I think they beat BYU. KJ Jefferson being back is a really big factor, I think, this week for the Razorbacks. And so don't know the score. I just think Arkansas goes out there and beats BYU. There's still a big deal about being an SEC team and having an SEC roster. And there's also kind of that intimidation factor, I think, of being an SEC team coming into a place like that. I think all those things come into factor this week. And I think the Razorbacks beat BYU and get to 4-3 going into that much needed open week. Arkansas and BYU at 2:30 on Saturday. Game is on ESPN. Come to WholeHogSports.com before, during, and after the game for all of our coverage from the Razorbacks game against the Cougars. And join us early next week for our recap of Arkansas and BYU here on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. For Andrew Joseph and Ethan Westerman, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us and have a great weekend.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.